Hello.
All right. Hello. Welcome. My name is Lear. I'm a librarian here at Teenscape, and I would like to welcome you all to the next installment of Career Conversations. This is the first one getting recorded for website podcasts. With us today is Tina from our digital content team. So we'll be passing the mic along, and that way the people who weren't able to get here, they can listen, and it'll be very exciting. So just a couple notes. Please silence cell phones, and bathrooms are right downstairs, also in the art department. that's okay. So we'll just go ahead and get started. Everyone will go ahead and introduce themselves with the first question of describing what you do, and in terms of schooling, what do you recommend for each of your careers?
Hi, my name is Stacey DeVera, and I work at Golin. It's an agency that is based here in downtown LA. And I work on I work in a video games and tech account, let's say, and we do PR and strategic communications for our client. And it sounds really specific, but it's kind of a broad umbrella of PR, marketing, corporate communications, branding. It's a little bit of a mixed bag, but every day is different, so it definitely keeps us on our toes. And in terms of schooling, I don't know, I kind of feel like PR is, you can kind of do whatever. I mean, myself, I majored in literary journalism, which kind of, you know, seems like a direct path to that, or an offshoot of that. But I do have other colleagues, you know, who have like majored in art or history, or it's a, you know, very different backgrounds. And especially with our agency, they really encourage people to have different experiences and just different backgrounds. So yeah, I don't know. I would guess go with what you're interested in. And, you know, if PR ends up being kind of the career path that you want to navigate towards, like, you know, you'll definitely find yourself there with, you know, internships and other relevant experiences. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Katie Houghton. I'm also from Golin, which is an agency. Just to add to what Stacey said, we are based in Chicago as our headquarters, and we have offices around the globe. I think we're at 50-something, and so we are just one part of it. Some of our clients that we work on a day-to-day basis is Nintendo. I don't know why you didn't say it. Nintendo, Clif Bar is a recent one, Razor Scooters. Got a lot of fun ones. California Avocado Commission. So we work on all sorts of different kind of projects. And so for education, I actually did study PR in the School of Communications, which a lot of colleges have. A lot of people also have different backgrounds. Psychology, advertising is very relevant to PR, especially now in the digital age. But we also encourage at our agency, and I think a lot of PR people have this, is very different backgrounds, because and going abroad and doing nonprofit and doing a lot of different things, because it ultimately always benefits whatever our next client is that comes through the door.
I'm Brenda Brill, and I work at the library. I do PR for the library, and I feel like public relations, I want to do something I love, and I do love the library. And I've been here 18 years. I'm a mid-level manager, principal, and my key areas are exhibits, the art exhibits that you see at the library, the Career Online High School, which gets diplomas to adults, and any kind of swag you see, I probably have my stamp on it. So as far as education, I was a journalist for 12 years before getting into this. But I see people in this field have English backgrounds. Some people didn't go to college even. It's just really, you know, I feel that you should start, if you kind of know what you want to do at a young age, you should start at a young age. Get on your school newspaper, get on any type of your yearbook. You know, I through college, I worked on a yearbook in the school newspaper, I mean the college newspaper. So, and also look for different clubs that support that. That is part of the networking. And I really encourage watching the news and seeing what's on there and always being aware of trends.
My name is Ashley Kaspazak. I'm with the Newmark building here in downtown Los Angeles. And for many people, they don't quite understand what we do, so I'll give you a tiny background on the building. It was the first high-rise in downtown Los Angeles, so we're a historical landmark. So the company is actually a real estate owner, but because we leased all fashion wholesale showrooms, we have a responsibility as an industry building to tell the rest of the world who's in our property. So I'm the director of marketing and public relations for the tenants in our building. So that's 110 showrooms, and they represent 600 collections, and it's all wholesale fashion. So all the stores we shop at come to the building to say, okay, I want that, that, and that in my store. So that's what we, in terms of where we lie in the business, where the showrooms for the designers and the buyers from the stores come and see us. So in terms of like giving you a map of how to get that career, I couldn't, because it's really like much of what my colleagues here to the right say is it kind of, you follow your nose. You tend to go with what makes sense to you, what speaks to you, what you're passionate about, and you've end up finding your way. So there isn't very many positions like doing what I'm doing, but I'm sure the rest of the panel could agree that it's almost specialized. You end up doing what you're fit to do. And so I went to school at UCLA. I was the first in my family to go to college. I studied anthropology and philosophy, so I was definitely reading all the time. And I still use that material today. I think I get that question a lot. I'm not sure if my colleagues here to my right also do, but they say, well, how do you use your degree? And I'm every day. I don't know how not to use my degree. I think what anthropology taught me was to understand people and cultures and communication and how to visually represent yourself with some cultural sensitivity, right? I mean, you can't, for example, try to sell a leather handbag line to somebody maybe from India if they worship the cow. You could see how that would be a major conflict. So to be aware of business environment and cultural sensitivities, I think, is essential in today's business environment, no matter what you do. And being in PR and marketing, you're almost expected to know that, right? You're expected to know what can be said in a more blanketed way, so you don't alienate any of your market. So it's being aware, being sensitive, and kind of knowing a little bit about what's going on in every industry, right? You don't want to be so specialized and only know what's going on in fashion or interiors or, but so it's being widely aware of what's going on around you. And so really, in terms of schooling and what to do, I'd say follow your nose and study what's interesting to you, but also be aware of the future, right? I mean, if programs in your school are not talking about virtual reality, augmented reality, 3D printing, they're gonna make it so you're behind. And it's okay for you as a student to expect that of your institution. So you should be asking things like, where's the class that's gonna teach me Adobe Illustrator and Photoshop and InDesign? Because how are you gonna get out of school and go do the job if you don't know how to do the job? I think no matter what degree you get, if you don't know the on-the-job skills, you'll be behind. So I always say that to the students that I talk to is, college will be good for theory, but it's not practice, right? So get out, start working, much like what Brenda was saying. If you're passionate in something, just go start doing it. Don't wait until you're quote unquote older or grown up.
Well, that's an excellent segue into, do each of your organizations, I know the library does, but in your specific area, offer internships, and how in high school versus college, and how will one get into that?
Yeah, so Golin actually has a really great program. They have two programs, I guess we could say. One is called an internship. And for them, I'm going to describe it as best as I can, because it's actually a really great program. It's mostly for post-college. A lot of times it's difficult to, get an internship. It's very competitive right now, because, you head into the job market and everyone, you already go in like, they expect you to have experience, but it's like, how can you get this experience if you don't have previous experience? And it's kind of like a catch-22 in a way. But Golin has an opportunity, I guess, for college graduates where you apply. And the premise basically is, the question is, what would you do if you had like X amount of dollars? you know, if you had all the time, what would you study in relation to PR, marketing, communications? And it ends up being about, you know, community. A lot of our interns who are chosen, you know, you submit a video, some type of entry describing kind of like what you would like to study amongst like people. And it's a lot about community. What's the thread that brings us all together, you know? And so that allows, if you're chosen as an intern, they basically sponsor you based on, you know, whatever your proposal was. And like recent interns spent, you know, I'd say like, I think it was like 6 weeks or something, a couple of weeks, just traveling across the US, meeting different people, meeting different communities. You know, they'll blog about it, they'll post on social, they'll share their stories. And at the end of the internship, they're actually placed in a office of their choosing. So they get to tour around, they get to see which one kind of fits their vibe, you know, what clients they have, and they end up getting offered a full-time job there. Yeah, so it's a really great program, especially for those who aren't really sure, you know, like how you get your foot in the door. You know, a lot of PR marketing is about networking, but if you don't have those established, you know, contacts, I think the internship's a great opportunity to do so. And in addition to that, I know our Golan LA office, we have like classes of interns, and we've had people who had no background, no previous information, no experience in PR, but you know, like we've spoken before, our agency really loves people who have different backgrounds and experiences, you know, something new that you can bring to the table, some new perspective that you can offer our clients, you know, our products, just a different way that we understand the world now. And you know, we're always, I find it strange to say, but we always are looking for like fresh, like new blood. Because a lot of times, like in PR marketing, I feel, especially at certain agencies, you'll get people who have been there forever, who have kind of been in the same routine, like with our clients. And it's always great to have a new and fresh perspective, especially for folks who, you know, may have not already like entered the job market. So just different opportunities. It's if you look, they are there. But I think it is, again, the onus on us agencies and just other institutions, you know, to get out there and show that these opportunities are available, because if, you know, people aren't aware of them, how are they gonna apply?
So she answered for me, but two other things. We do kind of towards the end of college graduation, but mainly post-grad. And the reason we do that is because it is 40 hours a week, real job paid internships. Most of the agencies do that now because we really want people to get immersed. And it's hard to be immersed if you're only 20 hours a week, or you know, you're competing with classes. It just is a big toll on people. And a lot of colleges now accept these internships as basically their last semester course. So that's most agencies do that. Internship is very unique, but most agencies do that kind of level. I would say if you're in high school, we were talking about like a lot of clubs that support it. Definitely yearbook, writing. And then there's also, I believe, I might need to look this up, that there is a national PR organization, PRSA, and I believe they have high school chapters, if I'm not crazy. They have a junior PRSA. Thank you. And then they also have collegiate chapters. So that's huge for networking, huge for hearing from industry professionals that are currently working. And they have lots of resources for all sorts of age groups. So yeah.
I think we do not have an internship program, and we've visited it and come back, and I hope that we come back again and eventually get one. So most of the outreach that we do towards young people, they call us and say, can I come in and talk to one of you guys and find out what your job involves? Come on in. And I worked at an agency before here for 3 years, Young Communications, in which we would take in an intern for the summer. And it would be nice if we could get something like that going. Because most of PR is, they say, if you're good in PR, you can swim in the fire. They can drop you in the fire and you can swim. And so it is that you should also, I would encourage, you know, doing your research and find, if you know which direction you kind of want to go in, start researching some of the companies that do that type of PR. Make that cold call and say, well, is there a program? And you know, or can I come and talk to someone? So it may take some assertiveness on your part.
I feel like probably of the people sitting up here, I'm the worst one to ask that question to, because I myself never interned. I was self-employed for over a decade. I came from a family that didn't have much to support me with, and so I had to do a lot myself. And so that's why I really advocate for people beginning work as soon as they can, because not everybody is in a position to take an unpaid internship. But from what I understand, that's changing now. Yes. I think when we were all younger, it was unpaid internships, and now they're paid. and I'm not saying don't volunteer. I still work probably more for free than I do for paid, you know, opportunities. So I'm not saying don't give back. It's just understand maybe not everything is fit for you, and that's okay. Don't think there's something wrong with you, because the regular routine that seems to apply to other people's lives doesn't apply to you. And so I can't really comment on that fact of how to get an internship or go there. I help. I tell people how to try, and really, what are you going to bring to the table? You can't just be another body in the room taking up space. You have to contribute. So even as an intern, come in there with a perspective, with something that's maybe different, and at least try to do that. So what I can also just briefly touch on is the difference between marketing and PR, especially for an internship. You know, this is a really, it's an industry where those two sections kind of get crossed over a bit. But the way I usually explain it to students is marketing is the creation of the deliverable, the website, the newsletter, the flyer, and the PR is getting it to people. Networking with a database, sending it through PR wire or whatnot. And so both areas oftentimes are done by the same departments or people, but it doesn't mean they're the same thing. And oftentimes they do get mixed up. People will tell me, oh, I'm doing a PR assignment. It's really not PR, it's more marketing. And so that's how, at least in my brain, I distinguish between the two, is creating the physical product, the deliverables, the marketing, and PR is getting it to the people. And so depending on what kind of internship you want, maybe you go for an agency that's more specialized in either or you find a department, like it sounds like much of what us do, is that does a little bit of each. So just understand that in your choice.
Great, thank you, excellent. So we're about halfway done, and I'd like to pause if anyone has questions, or we'll continue with our questions. Not yet? Okay, we will continue with our questions. Just want to give everyone a chance. So you've talked about how it's collaborative, and how do you keep your relationship strong? And you were already talking, you both were talking about networking, and how would one also hone their networking skills if, say, they're shy or an introvert, things like that?
Yeah, that's a great question, first of all. I think for myself, coming into PR and marketing, like I mentioned before, I majored in journalism, and like my colleague, I didn't actually have any like PR marketing internships. I did mostly, you know, like journalism, writing, you know, which of course is relevant, but when you're coming into a field where there are a lot of people who have PR and marketing experience already, like, you know, we've stated before, it's like, what do you bring to the table? But in terms of keeping kind of like my relationship strong, networking, I would say just think about the things that you are passionate about. You know, think about the things that, you know, as you're going through high school, as you're going through college, you know, that you really feel that you, that inspire you to do things that, you know, every day, at the end of the day, you go, you know what? That was great, that you're proud of, you know, and it doesn't have to be big. Like, you don't have to launch a big campaign, you know, but every day it's like little victories that add up. And for me, it was a little hard because I myself was pretty introverted. And a lot of times when people think of PR, they think of someone who's like incredibly like super savvy and, you know, just like super quick-witted and just like the best people person. I would say, just, you know, work on yourself, start slow. You know, you don't have to talk to a big group, but you can talk to like one-on-one. And a lot of times that's where the best networking relationships start, like a one-on-one conversation, talking about anything and everything, really. And I think just establishing those types types of relationships, whether they be small or, you know, and then grown to something big, is really just kind of like the stepping stone to building your network, just one step at a time, because you never know, honestly, the people that you run into and the connections that you make could lead to greater connections and networking. So yeah, I would just say, you know, don't be afraid to put yourself out there, but also don't fear, don't push yourself too hard if you feel uncomfortable. You know, again, stepping stones to expanding your network, and just start small.
I totally love all those things. I am not an introvert. So a lot of what we do is really natural to me because it's my personality. So I've had to work on other skills than just the let's go get 'em skills. But I will say that I am not very good at networking. And it's a challenge. I think it's something that's a forcing function. You have to learn how to do and be good at, and it has to be a consistent thing. But I am lucky that I've had very strong mentorships, and they have been mainly professional that have turned personal through the years. But I really felt like having somebody that I looked up to, that I could learn from, and that would be there if I needed them, was a little bit more valuable than going to a conference room with bad hors d'oeuvres and lots of strangers and having to like put myself and talk to them randomly. So I think one-on-one sometimes is a better way to go for networking, but there's also lots of resources to have them. PRSA is a great forcing function to go network and to go meet people, professionals or other people who have your same interests. And then I also think especially for an agency where you're doing lots of things, if you have an interest or you have a passion, there will be a time in your career when that will matter. You know, who knew that video games was something that I could do for a living and like it would be cool. if that's something that you're passionate in, there's always a time for it. So that's off topic, the networking question. But I just think that if you're hanging out with people that inspire you or hanging out with and doing things that you love, then that will be, you'll meet people that will eventually come back full circle in the world of the big world of PR.
Well, believe it or not, I'm an introvert. So it's when I get, it's like I'm on when I'm working, and when I'm home, I'm an introvert. So it's sort of a part of being shy is not being confident. And that's why I always encourage students to really research their topic. Know your business. You know, when you know what you know, you're not going to be shy when you're working. Part of that is when you do meet people, pick their brains. Especially if it's a field that you want to, you're going to have to ask those questions. You might as well get into the questions. That's half of the work. And I think that once you kind of can get really comfortable, then try to also expand from one person to more. Right now, whoever I meet, if I talk to them and I get information from them or I work with them on a project, they're all in my phone, everyone. And I call them for help sometimes. Sometimes I call them to go to lunch, you know. So sometimes it's just figuring out how to approach a person or a situation. But I do believe in networking, and I'll go to these parties and I'm like stressed out till I get there. But then my goal is to get to know whoever I need to know there. And when you're focused on doing that, then you ain't got time to be shy. So.
That's so true. I'm not going to even echo anything they all just said, because I would agree. I'm also an introvert. I mean, I'm a friendly person, but I'm extremely shy, and I don't like even doing things like this is out of my comfort zone. But again, to Brenda's point, we do it when we know what we have to say means something. So even though we're uncomfortable and we're up here shaky and we don't like it, we do it because we love to do it. I don't know. And so when I read this question and it says, how do you keep your relationship strong? This may not be the intention intended answer you wanted, but I just immediately, I think of honesty. I know that's so lame of an answer and it's not what you wanted to hear, but I don't care if people are business contacts or family. If you're not an honest person, that translates and your reputation is everything. And so whether you are one person to your family or another person at work, people find out, and especially now with social media, who you want to be online is sometimes very different from who you are in person. And people remember that. They take note of that. Let's not insult each other. We're all intelligent. We're able to pick things up about one another. And so finding a genuine connection in somebody is rare. I'd like to think it's more common, but it's really not. And you guys, I'm sure you all had a similar experience where you met someone and it's very easy and you can just click and it's simple and it's effortless. And then you meet somebody else where you have to break down a few more walls before you get there. Or you meet somebody else and there's walls all the time and they never get broken down. And so you just have to trust your gut and your instincts. And I don't like the word networking. I'm terrible. I'm gonna go against the panel. I hate it. Because to me, I think it's a disingenuous way to meet somebody. It's almost like speed dating for entertainment. You know, it's like you show up and everyone's got a business card and their best dress look and they pass them out. And then for what? So you can size up everybody in the room and see who's the most quote unquote successful and then hit them up for opportunity. What does that do? That does nothing for anybody. So instead, to my other colleague's point, go ahead and join associations, clubs. Like anybody in this room who's interested in press and being in PR, join the LA Press Club. There's other smaller associations too where you can really get to know people. I'm in a couple myself, but then I also sit on boards at SMC and Cal Poly, because I think if you don't give back and you don't talk to the community, like the kids that are gonna be working with us in 5 and 10 years, we are hurting ourselves. Because if we don't reach out to the students and at least try to give them some insight now, hey, you may want to study this, or hey, don't waste your time with this because this may not be relevant in 5 years. That helps. That develops a real connection. You know, I've had kids come to me 5 and 10 years later and said, you know, something you said stuck and it mattered and it pivoted my whole life. Or, you know, the opposite. I've said that to others, you know. So really it's being honest and open and not trying to lead with a certain representation of yourself. Just be as open and transparent as you feel comfortable.
And I think it's just something you guys will all agree is the most important thing, and it actually made me think of it, is to listen. To listen to when people talk. And to really not just, you know, listen for what you can get, but listen to know who they are. And that will help you also relate.
I tell the kids all the time, I'm like, you can take your brains to companies who don't deserve it, and then what would that be doing for this world? Like, what? Don't keep them in business. If you don't think Burger King is food, don't go do PR for Burger King. You know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying? Because
yes,
you keep them around. So it's, you have to almost, like that saying is coming out now, vote with your dollars. Well, same with your career. Vote with your decision of who to go with and make millionaires or billionaires, because it does matter.
It does. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. We did have an audience question with a follow-up. So for myself as a librarian, we have particular places we can go to find a mentor. Do you also have the same affiliations and places you can definitely try to find a mentor, or are they more organically found?
That's a good question. I think kind of along the lines of what we've been saying so far, like there are institutions, there are places like PRSA, LA Press Club, you know, that you can go and inquire about mentorships. But I feel that probably the most beneficial ones that I've found, again, were ones that just kind of happened organically. You know, whether it was through work or an outside organization, like Brenda here said, you know, if you connect with somebody and you can, you know, just kind of like align with their thinking and someone that you can look up to and really learn from, I think that is probably like the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had somebody reach out to me this week, Tuesday, 4 o'clock, where that they saw me talk. They have a lot of the times the colleges will come into agencies and like do a tour of the office and meet people and hear about what we do so that they know what they want to do and go in. And she heard me talk at one that I literally don't remember doing. And she reached out to me and she was like, hey, can we get coffee? And I was like, yeah, I didn't know this person, but she came and we talked, and she was just wanted to share about how apparently I said something, or she found me on LinkedIn, either way. But she said, you know, I'm trying to talk to as many people as I can to get an idea before I graduate where to go next. So I think there's she took a lot of initiative to do that, which is what happened. But I don't think you're going to meet a lot of people that are going to say no. We rescheduled 6 times, but it was one of those, like, I want to help you. A lot of people in this industry want to help because they know you will be your next intern or we'll work together. In a lot of ways, especially in the agency life, it's a really small industry. So talking about being honest, and people will know who you are in all sorts of situations after not sleeping for 48 hours and being on a plane and like trying to finish something, and they'll know your true self in those moments. Accurate. I think because of that, then the relationship should be more kind of natural, but nobody's going to say no, because I think we want to share the kind of wonderful craziness that is this industry.
Well, I've worked, like I said, for the last 18 years for government, City of Los Angeles. And before that, I worked 3 years for an agency, and I still keep in touch with the head of that agency. I still asked her advice. In government, you might all start at the same level, but in 5 years, you could all be at different levels. So that's why it's interesting. You need to develop those relationships at the beginning, and keep in touch with people, but like I said, not just to get things, but also just to see how they're doing, how their career going, how are they going up, and is there an opening there? No, a little bit of both. You know, it's really true. So I would say that I still talk with people who I worked with as a journalist, mm-hmm. who are now directors of different agencies throughout the country. And you do need to think beyond Los Angeles, beyond whatever city you work in. You want to have sort of national contacts and international contacts. So it's more of you slowly develop these relationships, but it is work. It's upon you to keep those contacts and keep up with people.
I couldn't agree more. And back when I answered the question about internship, I had addressed that I wasn't one. And part of it, for me, that's how I filled the gap, was I began as many mentorships as I possibly could. You know, in college, it was a little forced, right? Because you're already taking your professor's class. When you go up and you ask them questions, they have to give you their time. But then I would go outside of my own courses, and I'd contact other professors and department chairs, and I'd say, you know, I'm curious about this and that, and I want to do independent research with you specifically. And they'd say yes. And so I got some college credit for that kind of arrangement, as learning more one-on-one direct from an expert. And then now I do that for students who, again, reach out to me. It was something I did or said and it impacted them. They want to know more. They want to tell me their story. And I love hearing their stories because they still teach me things every time. So really, it's being on both sides. It's allowed me to see how important the mentorship and being a protege to somebody really is. I think many, many years ago, that's the way it was. You learn from somebody else who was an expert in that thing, and they passed it down to you, and then you passed it down to somebody else. And we've lost that a little bit. We've lost a little bit of that facilitating and educating one another. And I think we tend to look at others for that, or read blogs, or do whatnot. But I encourage you to be strict on where you're getting your education from as well. You know, don't just believe everything at face value. Don't believe something just because someone self-proclaims they're an expert. Maybe go with somebody who others are calling an expert. But really, the mentorship for me is where it's how I got to where I am today. Without it, I would not be here.
Wonderful, thank you. So we have about 15 more minutes. I do have one question I still want to ask. If you could all describe a typical workday, kind of the tasks you do day to day, to give the audience an idea of what you do.
Should we tag team?
Yeah, I kind of alluded to this earlier, but in it may not be the case for everyone, but at least for an agency life, you work on different accounts. But for myself in particular and my colleague Katie as well, we work specifically on one account, which is Nintendo. And day-to-day is very different. I could probably go by weeks, I guess. You know, you get a campaign plan or a marketing strategy doc, you brainstorm, you come up with tactics, ideas, you know, things that you want to do to like execute this, to meet the directive of the client. There's a lot of different things that you do every day. You know, some days could be very slow. Some days could be all email. Some days could be you in meetings. So it really varies from day to day. But just know that every day you're likely just going to get challenged. Whether it's how do you respond to a client question, you know, how do you reach out to like certain vendors, you know, how do you it's conducting research, you know. So there's a lot of different, I guess you could say, skill sets that you apply in the day-to-day that from the different experiences that you have, you'll definitely apply. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of hard to describe a day-to-day. There's no template, like there's no formula is what I would say. It is very different. And it definitely differs, I guess, depending on, you know, the industry or the, I guess, specific clients that you're working on and industry that you're working in.
Accurate. All that's accurate. I would say that I was surprised when I first started in PR that I used so much of my creative side and my organized side. So my left and my right brain, I use both of those equally every day. So we're creating new things. We're doing a lot of research. We're reading the internet. We're making PowerPoints. We're making budgets. We're doing with money. We're using all the primary colors of your skills. We use all of it. So a lot of fun fallacy about our industry is that we can't do math, which I can't, but we do a lot of Excel grids. We do a lot of Excel grids. And also, you know, talking about InDesign and Photoshop, we do that too. We have to know like who's who in the universe. We play video games on occasion. We do all sorts of stuff during a typical day. But I think the main thing that is new on my typical day that I didn't expect when I started in this industry is switching your brain from different tasks. And I also think there's an undervalue in writing, an undervalue in interpersonal like meeting dynamics, relationships. There's a lot more of that, again, especially in an agency, than you would maybe anticipate going in. Stacy and I are both weird in PR that we don't talk to the media every day. And that's a unique thing at Golin. We are more on the creation side and the being personable to the client and understanding what they want and reading in between the lines, a lot of listening, a lot of talking and listening. So we do that, but that is a skill set, is being able to pick up the phone and talk to media or write them an email that has all the information, answers every question, but does it succinctly and being aware. So I can keep going, but...
No, that's good. That's good. Okay, I'll just talk about Monday. What's going to happen on Monday? So when I get here, I'm going to meet a news crew, and we're going to go and see the exhibit out there, and I'm going to pitch it and blow it up and hopefully get a front page story out of it. And then I'll get back, and I will catch up with the swap. We're getting T-shirts for the Makers Fair. And so after showing different designs to different people, we've selected one. And so I'm going to push forward on that. On the Career Online High School, I'm going to be calling a couple of more media to just see, to get interest, to get people, get more publicity on it. And then I'll be taking calls all day on different things. So that's all my dream. Because then what really happens... Yes. The only thing that will happen for sure is that I'll meet the media. But when I get back to my office, anything could happen. And this is what I do love about the job, is that you just never know every day what's going to happen.
It's so true. I can tell you what I have planned each day, and it's definitely never what I get done. I always feel like I'm taking things on my calendar, sliding it over from day to day. Like, oh, next week I'll get to it. Oh, that's for later. But that is what's kind of exciting about it. You know, I think if you told me you're going to show up every day at this time and you're going to leave at this time and you're going to do these five tasks every day, I would be so bored. I wouldn't want to go to work. So I think that's what I love about what I do, is that it is different every day. But also because of what I'm doing currently right now, I kind of have two jobs. I'm the assistant property manager for our real estate company. So in any one day, I could be negotiating build outs, leases, showing space, going over construction projects and whatnot. But I also could be writing a press release, talking to the press, giving a student tour for what the industry building does in downtown. And then I also run and operate our website, newsletter, social media. We have a YouTube channel and a podcast on iTunes. So in terms of like today's day and age of being in PR, it's anywhere and everywhere. I mean, you have to be all over the place. And so when I started with the Newmart, one of the things they actually had asked me is, you know, we need you for social media support. I said, fabulous, where's the content? They had none. So then I said, okay, well, we can't just keep retweeting for an hour every day because people who follow this are bored. So you actually have to have a voice, have a point of direction. And so instead we started interviewing the building tenants, which is a source of information in and of itself, turned that into the podcast series, cut a short clip to put together a video that we give to the tenant because most of them need help PR-wise anyway. And so it helps everybody. It helps us, it helps them, it develops content. And so I could be filming an interview one day, I could be talking about leasing on another. So I think in PR and marketing though specifically, it's kind of the same thing. You could be doing a little bit of everything every day. And so if you're the type of person that wants to know what you're doing or needs to have a to-do list where you get to check everything off the list that day, PR would not be for you because it will give you anxiety and probably make you depressed. Oh, yeah. So just being honest.
Yes.
A little bit of depression.
Well, thank you so much. We have a few minutes. Anyone have questions? Any questions? Okay. I do have a question about how much social media you have to do, because we at the library are always trying to make content for social media. So do you set it up? And I know you do. You set it up and you tweet it out or Facebook it out. Do you also contribute to the content?
Yeah, I guess it depends on, you know, your client's needs. Some clients have a need for, you know, for us to handle their digital and social media channels. Others don't. I know, you know, Nintendo specifically, we don't. But in prior years, you know, we've definitely created content for them. You know, we would post natively to all their channels, whether it was YouTube, Instagram, even Tumblr is kind of where they're going as well. Pretty much anywhere there is like a social platform, or Nintendo tweets or posts. So yeah, I would say pretty much every social platform, and in very like different ways. You know, you could be creating like GIFs or GIFs, I guess, as a creator says is to be pronounced. I protest and I just call them GIFs. Or you could be creating like actual videos. You could be creating lifestyle photo content, or just, you know, really great you know, actual text tweets. So I guess it really does depend on the client's needs. But, you know, in PR, it is definitely something, especially in this day and age, that more and more clients are looking to do.
Yeah, there's two things. One, it's definitely something the media do now. So if media like New York Times is tweeting out their stories, then we should know what is going on. So we have to do a lot of following, a lot of searching, a lot of reading all of their content, because it's not just a newspaper anymore. Now they're sharing all their stuff on different platforms, and they could do unique content for each, which they should do, because that's how it's really good to have your own voice on each platform. So we do a lot of that for media. And then the second thing is that we recognize that if we're hosting an event or we are trying to get a new product out there, we can't do it in a bubble. So it can't just be this event. You have to have this event with content, with a influencer, with media. You have to have all these elements to really make an integrated experience, which is what people do now. So you're not just like following on Instagram. You can follow on Instagram and go to their blog, and then you can buy from their blog. Like, it's not a insulated world that we live in. So I think that no matter if we're actually writing the tweets or not, we're always thinking about social as just one other channel that we can utilize. And you can't really stop your brain from thinking about all of the cool new shiny things like AR and VR and drones and like all those cool things. You can't really stop yourself because that's what people are using. So it kind of is, you kind of got to think about all of those, whether you actually write the tweet or not. It's part of what is the world, and therefore we're in it to get our clients edged in there.
We have a social media librarian in our office. We usually have two, and we probably will go back up to two eventually. But whatever project we work on has a social media element. So like I was telling you, I worked on Career Online High School. We bought boosted ads on that, and we also just tweet on it. And I just put out posts that are paid and unpaid. If we have, like, we have authors and celebrities that come to the library for various reasons, we always try to get a picture of them with our giant library card. Mm-hmm. Those get posted, you know, and maybe there's quotes from them that are posted that support libraries. Right now, it's just very much an element that we use and are developing at the library.
For the Newmark building as an entity, I think a lot of people could argue either way, that you may or may not even need a social media representation. I think I would argue for, just because if you're not in the conversation, you are out of it. So even if you have really nothing much to say, at least have some form of an identity. So in the beginning, that was my expectation for it. But what I slowly started to realize is that in our industry right now, we're seeing a huge divide. Mostly some of what you're all reading in the press is retailers are closing their doors pretty quickly now. And a lot of that is because people want to shop for experience, right? You don't want to just walk the mall now. It's kind of boring. You want to go out and maybe go grab a coffee and bring your dog and go to that lifestyle boutique to get something for your brother and your kid and yourself. You have to make life easier for people. And that's what the fashion industry right now is experiencing, is that transition. So when it comes to social media, a huge portion of our demographic is on Facebook, let's say, because they had been doing business that, you know, for the same way 20, 30 years. And when the first social medias came online, Facebook was it. That was the coolest one. This is, of course, after it wasn't, or in the beginning, it was just for college students. I don't know, people don't really talk about that. But when they made it open for everybody, mom and dads to join. Yeah, I was like, mom and dads could join now, grandmas and grandpas, everybody was on it. So because of that wave, many of our demographic is on Facebook, but not the new buyers, right? Not the new bloggers, they're all on Instagram. We don't do Snapchat, but also Yelp is really important as a social media for us, and people don't talk about that. So really, whatever makes sense for your business or where you end up working, stick to that. Don't just try to flood the market with more noise and say, oh, well, we've got to be on Instagram and Twitter. Don't, if your demographic is not on there or the people that you want to reach are not on there. It doesn't make sense. It's a waste of your efforts. And so what we did when we started to realize this about our demographic is streamline some of our efforts. So instead I said, well, why don't we use our website blog, and we can funnel our content that we post on the blog through to Facebook and Twitter. And so it actually works as a search engine optimization technique, because anybody clicking on a link is going to be brought back to our website. So it worked very well for us. So that was a strategy that we developed, and it worked. Not everybody that would make sense for, right? You might want to drive people to your Facebook page because maybe you list events, or what if for whatever reason you want them to go there more. For us, it wasn't. It was just being a voice on all of those platforms to make sure we didn't leave anybody out. But essentially, Facebook and Twitter are very much run with the blog. Instagram is separate because, as you all know, if you're on it, it's more photograph based. Yeah. So it's not so much about the content in words, more about visually what you're posting. And then what was really more important for us is a LinkedIn group. Many of our people are
professionals. They don't want to get their news always from blogs and papers they no longer can trust. We won't go there about media, but that's at being a thought leader in an industry, sometimes you become the new media. When Jenna Marbles posts something, she's got 3 million followers. I wonder what our local newspaper has. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's about your coverage too. Why would you pay for traditional advertising now if they have 20,000 people in their group when you could maybe hook up with 5 micro-influencers who all have 50,000 followers, and that's way more coverage?
That's right.
So use your intuition. Don't do what's comfortable because it's probably going to be obsolete.
I had a question. I'm sorry, I know we're wrapping it up, but for those individuals that are introverts, can you give a quick tip or two when we walk into a room of a diverse group of individuals, whether socially, economically, ethically, what are some of the things that you check off would tell an introvert to do as opposed to holding up the wall and standing in a corner? What's some tips that you took a few?
I like to tell myself, and it's almost like I give myself a mini pep talk internally, that looking around the room, there's probably at least 5 other people who are also introverts. You know, I would like to think, you're in a room of 40 people, and sometimes it feels like you're in a room with 40 people, but you're alone, but you're not. You know, we all, and I'm sure my colleagues here will agree, just being kind of having that PR mindset, it is an ongoing, it's something that you work on every day, and especially being introverted, again, start small. If you see someone else who looks like he's kind of hanging back or isn't really sure, just go up to him and just introduce yourself. Just make that one, take the initiative and make that one small step to just try and form a connection, because eventually you'll end up being 2 people who are actually having conversation. Someone will say, hey, these people are having conversation. Maybe I'll introduce myself to them, So yeah, just tell, I guess go into it with the knowledge, that everyone there, especially, I know we didn't networking terrible, but go into it with the idea that everyone there is trying to meet new people or at least establish some type of connection as well, So, don't be afraid of rejection. Put yourself out there, because that's the only way, that you're going to take those strides to making those connections. Yeah. You're not alone.
I always, this is kind of PR and just dinner party situations, but I'm always what was the thing that happened today? What was the big news? What's the weird celebrity tidbit that I have that I can always start a conversation with? Because chances are most people have heard about whatever the thing is. So I prepare myself, especially if I'm not in the mood to talk to strangers, which happens sometimes. I always to have whatever that one thing is so that I can jump in with oh yeah, hey, did you see that thing? I always have the thing to talk about. It makes it a lot less stressful, which is weird to admit that I prepare my parties, but that's what I do.
I like stuff people.
Yeah, exactly.
It is not weird.
No, not at all.
And this is why I'm saying to you, watch the news, and I shouldn't say just the news. You should read. You should be, when you're on that internet, search for stuff that's interesting and accurate. But I think, like I said, I'm an introvert. I get all nervous. So I always go in with a plan. What am I going out? What is the goal of this? Even if it's a party, what's the goal? And pursuing that goal. Sometimes I'm so in my head, pursuing the goal, I forget I'm talking to people before I know it. So it's also, but as they've said, you have to make that first step. That if you can get through that first step, which is really a very small step, before you know it, you'll be talking to people. And keep in mind too, sometimes your most boisterous people, the people that is the center of the party, are really shy. Sometimes it's all a performance, just to get through it.
Yeah, definitely.
So.
Icebreaker. But at the end of the day, I also look to leadership, right? Like, I do believe in there's a certain amount of, like, masochism. You want to just turn the switch off. Like, if you go to these things and it's torture and you're kind of reading the room and you're not vibing with anybody, try to click. Go with leadership. Go top down. You know, if you vibe with a certain, like, CEO and he starts this meetup group or whatever, go to his thing. Because more often, they're going to attract people that kind of have their same ideals or ways of treating each other. So I've done that. I've gone multiple times. I'm not clicking, but it might not be your room, and that's okay. I think that's a hard conversation to have to just accept that not every room is for you, and that's fine. It, you know, go where your voice can be heard and where you're going to feel comfortable too, but you should do everything they said about putting yourself out there and trying. It's just, don't, if it's always torture and you're not having any fun, try a different means to the same end. Mm-hmm. Try yes. a different group.
And humor always helps.
Always. They always say, it will get better too, right? They always say, it'll get easier. It never did for me. I don't like my colleagues, it got worse, more traumatic. And I thought, even now, heart's beating. I don't like it. But I do it because that inner monologue is just, shut up, you're doing it. Just, whereas before, I would say no because I was so nervous. Now, I just, it's like almost reaction when I get asked. When I got your email, I was like, yes. I didn't let myself think about it because I knew if I did, I'd say no because I'd be too scared. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much. We're so very lucky all of you participated on our panel. And thank you so much for joining us. Yes. Thank you.